Hi, everybody. Welcome to a mini-sode of No Story is Sacred. If you have never listened before, we're basically four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it and we're inviting you to join the conversation. Welcome to a mini-sode. Today, we're going to do a character creation lightning round. So, any ideas? We're just going to be yes, no, maybe.
Yes, no, maybe.
Yes, no, maybe?
No.
Yes.
Oh, maybe?
Maybe.
All right. This was your suggestion, Brim. What you got for us?
I was just coming up with mini-sodes off the top of my head. I was kind of leaning on you guys to fill in the rest.
Great. Before we started recording, Pip was calling me out about something. She seemed to have an idea.
Yeah, I had an idea of how we could, like, potentially organize this because we didn't talk about it beforehand like the professionals we are.
Very professional.
And I was thinking, you're going to hate this.
No.
We could look at how D&D does character traits.
Ah, damn it. Son of a bitch.
Because there's the flaw, there's the something, there's the something.
I can open up my Dungeons & Dragons Player's Handbook here.
That only works as a nerd joke if you didn't actually have one yourself.
I have it right in front of me.
But here's the thing. It works really well.
All right, I accept this. Let's go, guys.
So, for those of you not in the know about the latest edition of Dungeons & Dragons, they tend to try and help you along with creating your character's backstory or just how to play your character in general to really, I guess, encourage actually role-playing as opposed to just being a group of murder hobos.
Don't judge me.
Like Pippin. So basically, for any particular character out there, you have like personality traits, you have your character's ideals, you have your character's bonds and flaws. I mean, I'm flawless. I don't know about you, jerks.
I woke up like this.
I was thinking the same thing.
How do you want to tackle this? Pip. Yeah.
You're right.
Whoa. It was Brendan's idea for the minisode. It's my idea to structure it. It is now someone else's turn to
Damn
have
it.
An idea.
Okay. All right. Lightning round. Wait, unless Alex, you go.
Well, one of the things Brendan sent us was also the knives, way of,
What?
Character
backstory.
Oh, yes. So this was something I found online a little while ago. It's called, like, a backstory knife. In role-playing terms, it's basically things in your character's backstory that the person running the game can then use later on to stab you with for emotional feels.
It's always good to have those planned.
As an author, if you know your character's emotional knives, maybe it's not coming up right now. Maybe at the end of chapter 12, when you're not sure what's going to happen next, you can stab them.
There you go. Now, it should be pointed out to the listener that this is, of course, not the only way to do character creation.
Of course not.
This is a way to do character creation. However, every time you can have a tool, anything you can put in your toolbox to help things along is valid.
Okay. So how about we just go around the room then, and I guess we'll just each take turns just making a new character. But before we really go in, how about we just kind of establish a little bit of what setting we're putting this character we're going to make on the fly? What genre should we go for? Because we don't have to do high fantasy. We could do urban fantasy. We could do science fiction. We could do Muppet romance.
Romance. Damn it.
Except... Then I don't think, no, this is starring Gonzo. What else do you
and
need?
We're done. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we go outside of our wheelhouse, maybe? What's a genre we haven't hit?
We can make our own superhero.
Ooh,
superhero. Ooh. We have not done that.
What?
Except for like
Batman versus Superman and Wonder Woman.
You know what? We're going to make a new superhero. That's it. We're done.
Yes.
There.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, new superhero.
Boom.
All right. So who wants to go first with a personality trait or quirk of this character? Actually, how about before we even go into that, we have a superhero. What's the superhero's power?
Damn it. Oh, shit.
Wait.
Exquisite fashion sense.
I want it to be something out of the norm. One of those ones that is, like, you have to really think hard how to make it a power.
like Mati in Captain Planet part.
I was actually thinking of one of the villains from the British show Misfits. He had the power to manipulate dairy products. But he was one of the first people who came out to great aplomb, you know, but then better powers showed up and he became less famous and that made him jealous. So yeah, he killed people in a bunch of really fascinating dairy related ways. So I'd like to go in the direction of something weird and unmanageable.
Slime vision. Yes. Known as I found the random superpower generator.
Damn it, Pip.
You.
You know what, though? I like it. I like it.
Because I have no idea how to interpret it.
We're all made of slime.
Filth manipulation.
Okay, that's that could work.
I like that.
Okay, filth manipulation. Their name? No. We don't
need that yet.
We need to find out what makes them tick first.
Yep.
Let's start. I'm just going to go down the list here because, as Pippin mentioned, this is just a handy way of fleshing out a backstory of a character just to make them seem a bit more real. So what is a quirk or personality trait of our filth manipulator superhero?
I'd like each of us to do one of these. So Pip, you first.
Yeah.
What? Why me first?
I don't know. Alex, you first.
You're quirky.
Oh, shit. Personality trait. You know what? Because they have filth powers, you know what they are? They're a clean freak.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Personality quirk. Clean freak.
Cool. Somebody should be taking notes.
Mm-hmm. Cat's taking notes.
You're on it?
I'm always on it. That's who I am as a person.
All right. So Alex has contributed clean freak. I'm already liking this. Okay. Kat, do you have a personality quirk?
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. I'm there.
I'm just calling out people.
Unrelated to their power, I would like them to be trying to perfect a particular vanilla cupcake recipe.
Nice. I was going to say they were a cook, so
Well, here's the thing. According to this Superpower Wiki article, filth manipulation also deals with rot and putrefaction. So they always know when the milk's going to go bad.
Nice. Ooh. Nice.
See, we're learning who this character is already.
Yeah.
So Pip, it's your turn now.
For the quirk?
Yes.
They like the smell of old books, and they can make the smell of old books.
Ooh. Wait, is this a quirk from before they had powers, or during?
Before. Easy.
Because if they can make the smell of old books before they had the power, there's a different story happening here.
The quirk of them loving the smell of old books was from before, and being able to make that smell is what made them come to terms with their powers.
Ooh.
Aww. Okay. I guess that's me then. One quirk for this character. I'm gonna say, this character often hosts dinner parties.
Ooh. That takes a special kind of...
Kind of tying into the vanilla cupcake, but no, just a, you know, that like little classy shindig, busts out the wine with friends, that kind of thing.
How does this character feel about brunch?
It's amazing.
Loves brunch.
Yeah.
I feel like every character someone creates, you need to know their opinion about brunch.
Yeah. Wait. I can imagine plenty of characters.
Wait. It's a food they're ordering more on the breakfast side or the lunch side of brunch?
Ooh.
Because are they ordering the Belgian waffles or are they ordering the smoked fish?
Such a good question.
Eggs Benny omelets, all the way.
Man. Already points of contention.
I was going to say chicken fried waffles that nicely straddle both sides, but I think we might just be ordering our own brunches.
Yep.
So be impersonal about this, guys.
So, no, the lesson here is it's okay to put parts of yourself in your character.
Of course. Okay. So we have a number of quirks of this.
What's the next thing?
Our character's ideals. So what's the internal drive of this person?
Ooh.
Who went first last time? Was it Alex?
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? You again.
What?
Wow.
Well, I thought you were going to be fair.
This is perfection.
Well, I can go first if you want.
Okay. Go for it.
This character is really driven with food hygiene because with the cooking vanilla cupcakes and hosting dinner parties, I think more so than like trying to, you know, clean up these streets literally, it's like like a food safety issue for this character. I don't know. That's a thought. You guys can elaborate.
I have one bouncing off of that.
Okay.
This character volunteers at local food kitchens, and cares very deeply about local food deserts.
Nice.
Right? And is, active in legislation and, other forms of activism to try to help people who don't and can't get enough food.
That is a very, very noble thing.
Yeah. And she's not one of those awful people who's all like, yo, anyone can eat healthy food, without paying attention to the cost of it. Mm-hmm.
Cough, cough, Jamie Oliver, cough.
Oh, call out culture.
Because, you know, fresh fruit and vegetables can be expensive and not always available in food deserts.
Yeah. Okay, Catterall.
Okay, so this is actually you going back to Quirk. Cat, you know that thing Gordon Ramsay does when he...
Which thing?
When he's inspecting a kitchen.
Where he touches stuff?
Where he touches the gross stuff with his bare hands.
Ah! Or Antony from Queer Eye, where he just sniffs everything.
Yep. I love him.
Yep, they do that.
Well, wait, but that's a quirk. I'm going to add that back to quirk.
That's why I said going back to quirk.
Touches gross stuff.
Oh, would you look at this? Oh.
Okay, but we need an ideal.
An ideal?
Yeah.
Is a...
I got one.
Okay, good. Right. Good, because I got nothing.
Sincerely believes that Monsanto is evil.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Monsanto, for the listening audience, is the like weed killer, but also does stuff like proprietary seeds, which is bullshit.
All right. Actually, bouncing off of yours.
Yep.
She dislikes Monsanto, but she's in favor of GMOs.
Ooh. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there are.
Because they create plants that produce more or plants that produce better foods.
It's just the ones that create their own pesticides that cause
Okay, weird folks, we're on the wire, though. Who's next?
Wait.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
She's open source GMO.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. So it seems like we have a very feeding the world kind of superhero, which, you know, I think needs to happen more often in superhero stories.
I agree.
Yeah.
They really just punch people.
This is a very approachable kind of heroism.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to fight a villain. It's another thing to actually rescue people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Her villain is systematic.
My villain's the system, man.
Yeah, man. All right, so what's the next thing?
Okay, up next they call it the bonds. So interpersonal bonds that this character might have, like what drives them when it comes to interacting with people.
Her best friend from kindergarten.
All right.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Who didn't always have lunch with her and couldn't always afford lunch, but always trying to hide that she didn't have
food insecurity.
Yeah. It was always really embarrassed about it and trying to hide it, and she was, you know, trying to feed her in a way that didn't embarrass her. Yeah. So her best friend from kindergarten.
Aw.
I say pet rat.
All right.
Fair enough.
So she has a pet rat. Oh, yeah, because I guess they can be associated with filth stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're misunderstood.
They are. And they're also a pest, which it feeds back in, you know, technically, which feeds back into farming and other things like that.
Her grandmother that lives in a food desert.
Ooh.
You know, like, the only grocery store is like 2 miles away, and her grandmother's got a gouty leg.
So she visits regularly.
Yeah, yeah.
Does the shopping, tries to help out.
Yep.
Feeds her cupcakes.
It's her grandmother's cupcake recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, aww, it is.
Did her grandmother die before the start of the book?
Before she got her powers.
Yes.
Yeah. We've got a tragedy now.
No, this is called character building.
True, true.
Okay, so I guess that leaves my bond. Her bond is that, or the thing I'm kind of thinking is, she used to work for one of those companies that did the, the nasty GMO stuff? Mm-hmm. Like not, you know, it could be fake Monsanto or whatever. Yeah. It was a chemical accident that gave her powers in the first place. So she has like a personal vendetta.
Ooh.
Like maybe a boss that basically put the company above the people.
Oh yeah, it doesn't have to be a good bond.
Very good point.
Nope. True. So yeah, that's my bond contribution.
Awesome. Yeah, we nailed that one out. What's the last thing?
Character flaws.
Ooh.
So in order to make a fully fleshed out character here, we gotta, you know, put some flaws in the character. We gotta put some room to grow, some things that make our character a bit more well-rounded and, you know,
what?
Human.
That's what? Humanist. That's
I know,
speciesist.
Right?
I'll go first.
You go.
She's jealous. She has jealousy.
Ooh. What's she jealous of in particular?
I think that's just, it's one of her things. But the second I said it, I'm like, you know what? This is a, I think we've determined that it's a young lady as we've been talking.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, femme identifying. I think that we have, I don't want to say this isn't a romance, but I think that, there is somebody that she connects with during the course of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is a flaw that comes to trip them up at some point.
Oh, like they see them flirting with somebody else and, ooh.
Yeah, bullshit like that. Now, it doesn't have to be a relationship jealousy. For instance, what if her love interest here is an ex-coworker from the GMO?
Oh.
Not the boss. Just some other dude. And then the other guy, like, chooses the company over her.
Or
like, she gets jealous of the fact that he's spending all this time at this shitty company. Well, is it really about the fact that the company's shitty, or is it about her not getting her feelings addressed?
I've got a one.
I've got a flaw.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. I've got scissors.
My hand was in a fist.
Oh.
Oh, Pip wins.
This is how we do rock, paper, scissors, folks. On the honor system.
I would never lie to you. But no, I'm thinking maybe she's impatient.
Oh shit, that was what I was going with.
Ooh.
Freaking twin bond.
God damn it. You know, that is jealousy.
And that's why she can't get her vanilla cupcake recipe right. Because she's not patient with it.
Ooh. Oh.
That's a nice twist too, with growing, farming, stuff like that. You need time with that. And also, she's doing all this legislative activist stuff, you know, but change isn't happening fast enough.
And then, and here she has this power, which, a power that, on the face of it, you know, accelerates things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, accelerates death. Well, not death, the end of it.
Manipulates filth.
Yeah, but hey, you know, she could probably use that to speed things along, certain, you know, microbes.
Yeah. Part of the fun of choosing a wacky, weird power that makes no sense is that you then get to figure out all the ways to fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know, I almost imagine tying into the impatient flaw that when the story first starts out, she's really good at increasing filth, entropy, that kind of thing. But like when she finally, maybe by the end of the story, learns some patience, that's when she starts tapping into being able to actually manipulate it.
Nice.
Because this would be early on in the superhero-dom, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
The origin story.
Origins.
Oh, yes.
Beginnings.
All right, so we need another flaw. What are we doing? What are we doing?
I guess that's me or Al.
It's one of the both of you.
Okay. All right. I got one. This ties into being impatient. She also doesn't really consider consequence before action.
Yeah.
So kind of impetuous combined with impatience.
Not a good combo.
I wonder how she got fired.
Exactly. I can imagine her in the, you know, inciting incident having a kind of like decided to right on the spot fight the system, but then like being screwed over by the boss, and that's how she got the superpowers. That's like kind of ties into the inciting incident.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we need one more flaw, right, Alex?
Right.
Yeah, Al.
Okay. Aggressive.
It's who I am. It's my flaw.
Yeah, when I think of you, I definitely think aggressive.
Yeah.
So what I've got, one of her flaws is that she can be kind of a lot condescending.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like, do you see this? This is a food desk.
That's how we get ants.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
No, also tie is into her impatience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah?
Why can't everybody see the thing that I'm seeing?
Yeah.
None of you understand.
Let me explain it to you.
Yeah. Even better, let me show you through those superpowers.
Whoa. Oh, God, that's disgusting.
It proves nothing.
Well, If you tie that right back to Clean Freak, by the way, right up from the top again, mm-hmm. then you have somebody who tries to, who explains to you gently why you should take your shoes off at her door. Yeah.
Oh. Like, even going so far as to describe all the various, like, bacteria that you're tracking all throughout mm-hmm. her extremely mm-hmm. clean house.
Oh, my God.
Yep, yep.
Quick, let's make her likable again.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, well, as we already established, she has a pet rat that is...
Thank you.
Adorable.
Of course. So, I guess kind of breaking away from the D&D thing, just to kind of bring this character full circle. What do you kind of imagine this character's first adventure being?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the knife.
Oh. Oh, well, I guess there are knives, yeah. Okay. Actually, yeah, scratch that. Let's add some knives to this character to bring things to a close here. What are some things from this character's backstory that in chapter 12 we can stab them with?
You know that friend from kindergarten?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They haven't actually spoken since like high school.
Aw.
They went to different paths.
As one does.
And maybe that friend now works at the evil company.
Oh.
The friend, Pippin, replaced her job, like, when she got fired.
Yeah, but neither of them know that yet.
Oh my God, they reconnect, and then, oh no.
And does this friend have a bit of a chip on their shoulder about our character?
Okay. I think I have a knife for this yep. character.
Yeah.
So we've established that they're trying to do this, you know, they're very food driven. After leaving the GMO company, they've tried to make a maybe small restaurant or inexpensive food mm-hmm. shop.
Food truck.
or food truck even, yeah. But because it's a new business, things are going slow, and they're behind. So that's always a nice little knife to drive into a character is money.
You're a failure.
Money is tight. Yeah, worrying about that stuff, too. I mean, that's always a legitimate thing. That's something to overcome by the end of the story. / always be a concern for the character over time. See, like, the Dresden series.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, that's my knife.
I like that.
Money.
Okay, let's see. My knife is that she has a bit of a police record.
Whoa!
Listen, she goes to demonstrations, and occasionally she gets arrested at those demonstrations.
Just every once in a while.
She has a strained relationship with the local police force in this city.
Yeah.
Which does not lend her any credence or credibility when she's like, but this evil GMO is doing this thing. Sure it is, lady. Get out of here.
Yeah. you were saying the same shit about last week about tires. I don't know, about cars or something.
Okay, I like how you went immediately Boston. All right, guys.
All right.
I've got something.
You got a knife?
I got a knife.
She's not afraid to use it.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
I see you've played Knifey Spoony before. However, that's not a knife. This is a knife, you guys. Okay, remember the dead grandma?
Yep, yep.
Yep.
All right. What are dead grandmas generally composed of?
Decaying matter?
Yep.
Oh, I got a one. Okay.
I think that dead grandma died very shortly before the beginning of this story. So story starts with our character having to deal with the fallout of death, which is fine. You know, that's a thing people do. You know, having to deal with lawyers and estates and so forth. But then we get a superpower. And as time goes on through the story, we're going through the process of grief and so on. Character starts to realize what they can do with their power. And then one night in chapter 24...
Oh, no.
Someone gets a very bad idea.
Oh, no.
An idea fueled by impatience and...
Impatience, unhappiness...
Impetuousness.
Impetuousness. That goddamn cupcake recipe is still not working. Nothing's working in their lives. What?
Are we going to use filth manipulation as necromancy?
Yes, we are!
And there's no way this could be a bad idea. She knows what she's doing.
There's no way this carefully thought out plan can possibly go wrong.
Narrator, it did.
Yeah, I want this to be a slowly growing sort of background terrible thing that's going to occur.
And it's all her fault?
It's all her fault. And it's
that's going to be like a new character flaw introduced toward the end of the
book.
That's
sequel territory. Ooh.
And then there's...
Oh my god. Oh my god! Not okay!
Yeah.
Not fucking okay!
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, what gives you the right?
Third of all, for those of us who aren't in the know, what were you referencing, Alex?
Oh, I was actually thinking of that episode of Buffy the Vampire. Or
Monkey's paw, man. Monkey's paw.
So Alex was referencing Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which in itself was referencing the Monkey's paw.
Bring back the dead, man. They come back wrong.
It's never a good idea.
Never a good idea.
I like how we're all, like, so knowledgeable on this topic. Like,
I mean, who isn't?
All right, so that's mine. That's my knife. Check that shit out.
Cool. Do we all give a knife, or are we missing one? Are we missing a knife, guys?
I did a stab. Pip, you did a stab.
We have all stabbed.
Yeah, I brought up the kid gun.
Ah, that's right. Excellent. So, yeah. And really, we could go on all night about this.
We frequently have.
Indeed. Maybe if we do this again, we can use some completely different method of creating a character from the ether. But I think this kind of gave us a very quick way of just basically pulling out a character from nowhere.
And we also got basics of a story going on.
Seriously?
I
was going to say, maybe next time we do Wheel of Tropes, we can bring back this character.
Wait, do we have her name?
Next time on No Story is Sacred.
I'm picturing a Kara.
Ooh. I was picturing Sandy near the beginning, but that's kind of an aged name. Aged out.
I would have to look into food and death-related puns.
Yeah.
We'll bring her back. This is a character who's coming back. I have a lot of fondness for her. Yeah. This is like the old lady society. This is definitely...
Yeah.
I mean, this could be just a future episode where we flesh out this story in its entirety. So
the next time we don't have an idea for a mini episode. Not that ever happens.
What? Never.
What? So I think that was a character, guys. So, Kat, do you want to take us out?
So, as always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at No Story Is Sacred or send an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex McDonald, Brendan McDonald, Pippin McDonald, and Catherine Creighton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by the excellent Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoryissacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story Is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. Until next time, we're No Story Is Sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Kat.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Pippin.
And I'm Alex.
And we're
No Story Is Sacred.